It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, like the dude just said, this is Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. And by the way, if you find yourself getting outside of the overly broad range of our AM, FM capabilities here at WVNN, just know it does not matter. Anywhere in the world you can hear the show, just go to rightsideradio.org. That's rightsideradio.org. That's our website. Click on Listen Live, and like I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So yeah, that's how we have callers that call in from out of state and all over this state that are way outside of the AM/FM because they're streaming it online. And so yeah, just encourage you, just take us on vacation, take us wherever you go. If you're driving and you're losing the signal, just pick it up again. Rightsideradio.org, click on Listen Live. Hey, going to go right now to the phones and bring in somebody who is becoming a frequent flyer here on the show. Scott Buttram is the publisher of the Trustful Tribune, who, by the way, has developed a hilarious ability to tweet in such a way that effectively tears down liberals with a minimal amount of words. So if you're on social media, you might want to follow him. He's called the Secretary of Common Sense on Twitter. But once again, Scott Buttram, welcome to Right Side Radio.
Thank you, Phil. How you doing, man?
I'm good, bud. How you doing?
I'm good. Had a good weekend. Got a beautiful Monday going. So yeah, all's good. And we have a school choice bill coming down the pike. So
we do.
It's a good day.
We do have a school choice. I mean, and right now, I tell you what. Before we even get into politics, let's touch on that because I'm going to do more on it later. But right now, some are calling it the mother of all school choice bills.
Yeah, in fact, I think that's the term Del Marsh used when he spoke with Mary Sell at Alabama Daily News about this. And credit to Todd Stacey and Mary Sell for jumping on this story quickly. Somehow they had news. The bill hasn't even been filed yet. It's supposed to be filed, I believe, on Tuesday.
It has. I've got a copy of it.
Finding this and talking to Del Marsh and getting the ins and outs of it. And you and I are both big believers in Alabama parents and students having school choice in Alabama. I don't know that we could have hoped for a better bill than the one that is about.
Yeah, and let me jump in there, and I'll say I actually talked to Dell. I've got him lined up to be on the show here in a couple of days, and talked to him this morning. And my understanding is the potential is there that the Republican Party is actually going to make this what they call a party bill. In other words, the party itself is going to say, we want y'all to pass this. And then on top of that, I've got a copy of the bill. It's pretty comprehensive. It literally will allow your tax dollars to follow your child to wherever you want them to go in the state of Alabama, if that's what's best for them.
Right. Right. I did not have any objections to anything I saw in the bill. I don't, and you know me well enough to know this is a big statement. I had no suggestions. I've always got an opinion different than everybody else. But as I read through this, I'm like, no, this is so good. I like it the way it is, and you know, we will have a process where it will either be strengthened or diluted as it is debated, and we'll see how that has to go. But I'm very pleased with this bill. I'm pleased with the oversight that this bill provides. I'm pleased with the flexibility that it gives students to really select the best situation for them. I just wish it's a three-year phase-in, and it does make sense to me, but I wish it were available to every student in the upcoming school year, because we have so many kids that need an opportunity that they are not receiving in their public school system.
No, totally agree. And that, you know, I get it. You know, one of the things that kind of I recognized when I was in Montgomery myself was when we do these major shifts, and this one will allow the transition of your tax dollars to go with you other places, that the Department of Revenue has got to put their mechanisms in place to logistically make that work. So I get the fact that they've got to have a little bit of phase-in time. 3 years feels like a little bit long, but nonetheless, if we get there, it's still going to be a game changer for a lot of parents and students who are just sick and tired of being told that your zip code is what matters more than what your child needs.
That's right. That's right. And the good news is some students can move next year. They can make the move next year.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The following year, they've got the income cap on who's eligible to use the program. And I think those are the critical kids that need to move as soon as possible. So I'm pleased to see that they're prioritized in year two. And then year three, it's open to everybody. As much as I'd like to see it overnight, I don't think that's unreasonable at all.
No, I don't either. And if they can get this passed, it's going to make shockwaves. And it's going to also, by the way, clearly indicate that this legislature, which is a Republican supermajority, has a bit more gravitas than they showed in other realms of late. And that's going to be extremely important. Well, listen, hey, Scott, let me move. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if they stick together, it will. And you and I both know AEA has been pouring a lot of money into campaign accounts, campaign accounts over the last couple of years. So they're going to have to be able to shield themselves from the pressure they're going to feel from the people who've been giving them money.
Yep. And I agree. And this is, I'm hoping this is one of those bills that gets viral. It's going to take the listeners of this show, the readers of the Trustful Tribune, and other people all around this state to say, hey, legislator, we need you to pass this bill. That's what's going to have to happen. Well, hey, let me shift gears on you, Scott. So, total different subject, but same people we're talking about. So the qualifying closed last Friday. The races are now locked in. Unless somebody drops out of a race, we pretty much know who the people are that are going to be on the ballot now. And there were a few surprises, not the least of which is the fact that some of the incumbents drew primaries, which, I said earlier in the show, there's an old adage, there's only two ways to run a campaign, scared and unopposed. And some of them got scared on Friday afternoon.
Well, they did. And I'm going to be honest, I don't recognize a lot of these names that are running. I did spot a couple of challenger names that I was somewhat familiar with, but I guess I'm like most people. I went right to my representative and right to my state senator, and I wasn't surprised. I'd already heard from our representative, Danny Garrett. He contacted me as soon as everything closed and said, hey, I got nobody. And I knew about a week ago that our state senator, Shay Shelnut, did have some opposition.
And this
is what I'm wondering, Phil, if some of these contested races are a lot like what we're seeing here. The gentleman, I think his name might be Mike Dunn, I can't really remember, who's running against Shay Shelnut, never been involved in politics before, and honestly, I don't know the guy. I don't know anything about the guy. I do know that he was running for U.S. Senate. See if this sounds familiar. He was running for U.S. Senate until about a week and a half ago when he changed everything on his website to run for the state Senate.
Oh, wow.
So I did go read his website, which really didn't say anything either, and spotted a couple of places. He's still talking about the U.S. Senate, so he might want to proofread that. But I wonder if that's the case in some of these other cases, situations across the state. Where is it really a serious challenge, or is it just somebody throwing their name in the pot, you know?
There's a few of these that are serious. Like, I don't know if you caught it, but up in District 2, which is right here in my listening area in Huntsville, Tom Butler, Senator Tom Butler, Bill Holtzclaw, who was, in all fairness and disclosure, he was one of my best buddies. We sat next to each other on the floor of the state Senate for 8 years. Retired Marine, he'd been on the city council in Madison, then he served 8 years in the state Senate when he beat Tom Butler, who used to be a Democrat. And now Tom Butler came back after Bill didn't run again and is a Republican. Well, Holtzclaw shocked everybody by coming out and saying, you know what, I'm running again. So he qualified Friday. Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. I would have to say that was the one that jumped out at me. If I'm going to be honest, that's the one that jumped out at me. And I didn't know the backstory on that. But let me say this, and I'm not speaking for Bill, and I haven't spoken to Bill, but it sounds like he was concerned that name recognition could be a problem for that seat and decided he just wasn't going to let it fall that way. And if he did, congratulations to him. I also noticed Nathaniel Ledbetter, Nate Ledbetter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Somebody running against him. And, I spent a lot of time in DeKalb County. I'm telling you, he is wildly popular. So he's a strong leader. So I don't know where that's coming from or why that's coming. But
well, he's the former mayor of He's the former mayor of, what, Rainsville or Fife, I think, and then he also has served now in the state house. He's the majority leader in the state house, and I'm speculating, but I know he's also been super in favor of the expansion of casino gaming. He's been one of the lead proponents of trying to get the casino assigned to his district, and so maybe that's what drew a primary.
That may be exactly what it was. I actually did not recognize his name, so I'm a little surprised.
Another one that I see
prominent in the house, but you know, people tend to get lost in the house.
And, another one that I see right now too is in the Senate. Tim Melson drew a primary opponent. Tim Melson was the sponsor of the medical marijuana bill, and a guy named John Sutherland, who I don't know, is apparently running against him in part because he is irritated with the way that he says Melson's been handling things at the local level. So it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yeah, it always is. And, of course, I think we've reached the point, especially in these challenged districts, where the primary is going to be. That is the election for all practical purposes. So it'll be interesting to see how this plays out. It's awfully hard to beat an incumbent unless they've just done something terrible. So it's always fun to watch it. I feel like I know how to play out locally in the Tribune coverage area. Though I did see, this was interesting, Dickie Drake has competition.
Yes,
he's
he does.
Over in the Leeds area, which is part of the Tribune coverage area. And I have heard some whispering and people that have not been crazy about Dickie Drake over the last 2 or 3 years. So,
well, and I actually heard that the person, and I know Dickie, he's a good dude, but he didn't score well at all on the Policy Institute scorecard this last year. And I heard that the lady who was running against him said that was the motivation for her to get involved, because she did not someone who wants, when she realized how he was voting on bills, she wanted to run. Hey, listen, we're up against a quick break. Hang on a second, Scott. We're going to take a break. We come back, I want to switch gears and talk about the Secretary of State's race with Jim Ziegler in it now, and the governor's race for that matter. All right, so hang on.
Okay.
We'll be right back. Hey, Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune is with us. We're just dissecting state politics right now. But listen, we're going to take a quick break. We get back, we'll continue that conversation. Folks, you got to pay attention to who's running. And by the way, a lot of folks right now have drawn primaries. I would say right now about a third of the legislature has a primary. I'm looking at the list. Wow. Either that or it's an open seat with multiple people signed up. You got some shopping to do, voters. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We will be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, just plain right. Going right back to the phones right now with my buddy Scott Buttram from the Trustful Tribune. So, Scott, we're talking about state politics. We're talking about qualifying closing. And, man, I mean, the race for some of our statewide candidacies has really heated up. Not the least of which is Governor Ivey, who is an incumbent, has drawn a total rash of primary opponents.
But of that group, how many do you think could truly challenge?
Yeah, I mean, I get it. You're right. I mean, let's say, for instance, that Stacey George and Dean Odell each got 1%. Well, that's 1% that each one can't give. I mean, that didn't go to Governor Ivey. But I would say that right now, Tim James is probably the lead opponent. But then if Lou Burdette gets some money. I mean, I'm not seeing much traction out of Lindy Blanchard yet, but if Lou Burdette gets some money, I think he could get some traction.
Well, I don't know Lou Burdette, but I will tell you that I've been impressed with the people that do know him.
Yeah.
And these are a lot of people that I have a lot of respect for, so that's the guy I'm going to look at, you know, mainly because of the 2 or 3, 4 degrees of separation. I'm going to look at him. We know Tim James can self-fund. We know he's got name recognition. We know the story of his father serving as governor. So while I've been a little disappointed in the war that James has waged thus far, I do think he is in a position to challenge Kay Ivey. He's going to have to improve his campaign a little bit. He's going to have to get – and he's – I think he's done that over the last week. I think it has improved. But early on, before he announced, I thought he was making a lot of not missteps, but just hitting on issues that aren't real issues for Alabamians.
Yeah.
I think he's zeroed in over the last week and a half, 2 weeks, and improved that a lot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can run your
high school with my wife in Opelika. He probably won't be getting a vote out of our household, but definitely pick up one or
you
two
can't,
for, points.
You can't really call it a campaign announcement when you're talking about yoga in schools, which I get may be an issue that
exactly.
He wants to take issue with, but that is not resonating with the broader audience. And so
he's going to have to
go out of, you know, into, you know, raising your gas taxes and why we're number 50th in the nation in education. He's going to have to really nail down that, that resonating yeah. agenda of things that matter. And that's going to have to happen. Lou Burdett, I think, can come across as a very polished individual. He's certainly got a background. He's got a great resume. But again, I haven't seen the level of financing for his campaign yet that we've seen out of Tim James.
And we could, you know, he could. From what I'm hearing from people who know him, he's a guy who could sell himself, and maybe he could pick up a little bit. But you know, as well as I do. Phil, when people start putting money into campaigns, the first question is always, can you win? Because I don't want to give you money just to give you money. I need to know that you can win and you got a chance. So we'll see how that plays out with Lou Burdett. But he certainly knows some of the right people, and again, I've been impressed by that. So we'll just have to see how that works.
Well, In 30 seconds, Scott, tell me about Secretary of State Jim Ziegler in 30 seconds. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. I knew Jim was getting in it. I don't know who else is in it. Fill me in on that.
Yeah, Representative Wes Allen is in it, and he's been running now hard for months, and everybody thought that he was the runaway guy, and all of a sudden Ziegler has rained on his parade Friday. I think that's the race, because Ziegler was polling at like 7% in the governor's race, not even being a candidate.
Right. And he's got name recognition. Regardless of what you think of Jim, he's got name recognition of what I think of him. So anytime you've got name recognition, you're a threat, because so many people don't pay attention to races and to what people do. That's one of the things I really appreciate you for, Phil, is that you hammer your audience with that every day. They got to pay attention.
Good word. Hey, Scott. As always, thank you much, brother. Scott Buttram with the Trustful Tribune. You can find him at TrustfulTribune.com. Also, he's the publisher down there. Scott, you have a great day, man.
Thank you, Phil. You do the same.
All right, folks, listen, I'm not done with this. We got stuff to talk about. Do we have any Democrats in the race? That's one of the things I'm covering down on next. What is going on? Is there ever going to be any competition? We'll talk about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.